Welcome. You're listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast, where Sandy and Ron Fraser.
Hi there.
Sandy and I have been interested in health for a long time. We both got our doctorates in health. Sandy's a doctor of naturopathy, and I've got a doctorate in natural health, which is pretty much the same thing. And we both had health issues, and so we've looked into what the Baha'i writings have to say about health, and there's really quite a bit. Some of it very specific, some of it a little bit general.
We've learned to do that, at least I have learned to do that as a Baha'i, that when I have some conflict or some difficulties coming up, to turn to the writings, to look at them and see what's there, what resource is there for us. And there was quite a lot, and it was very good stuff there. So I'm glad that we have a chance to share it today. We want people to understand that what we're presenting is not an organized system of healing. These are just excerpts from various letters that were written to people who asked specific questions about health. And we've tried to organize them a bit according to whether they had to do with our spiritual lives or our physical lives. You know, one's the material and one's the spiritual. So it's nice to look at it in those perspectives. You know, really to get the full, we're going to give you bits and pieces, but really to get the full flavor, it's best to, on the guardian's advice, and the guardian was the grandson of Abdu'l-Bahá, it says that it's hard to elaborate on a few general references to health and medicine made in our holy scriptures. The believers must guard against seizing upon any particular text which may appeal to them and which they may only partially or even incorrectly understand. So, we just wanted to add that little caveat there before we began our exploration of health.
A big factor in health is joy, and I think that's something that's largely ignored. But it isn't ignored in the holistic health community, but in the medical communities, it's often ignored. Our writings say, in this world, we are influenced by two sentiments, joy and pain. Joy gives us wings. In times of joy, our strength is more vital, our intellect keener, and our understanding less clouded. We seem better able to cope with the world and to find our sphere of usefulness. Now, we know also that joy actually influences the immune system, that if you're joyful, your body actually is working better and is able to ward off disease.
Well, joy gives us wings. I love that. I love the analogy of the rising of the spirit, because we have so many references to how the arts really help to elevate our spirits and to make us happy and joyful. And we use this in our devotional gatherings, in our unity feasts, in our feasts, and other celebrations, in our children's classes, the singing and listening to music and chanting and, you know, getting that energy to peak, you know, all of that has to do with joyfulness and providing us with wonderful spiritual and physical health. Our sense of community is healing to us spiritually and physically. Perhaps this is where real joy comes from. And it's hard to imagine a truly joyful hermit. And the writings say that man cannot live singly and alone. He is in need of continuous cooperation and mutual help. A man living alone in the wilderness will eventually starve. He is in need of cooperation and reciprocity. And you see that so much that, you know, man is not an island, and it's true for us as Baha'is. We need one another, and unity is so important and such an important message for our faith.
We've kind of divided this up between things that we should add to our spiritual life and things that we should add to our physical life. We're going to start off with things to add to the physical life. One thing, of course, is to get professional help from time to time. It's actually in our writings that this is the quote, "Whenever ye fall ill, refer to competent physicians. Verily, we have not abolished recourse to material means. Rather, have we affirmed it through this pen which God hath made the dawning place of his luminous and resplendent cause." So we do look for spiritual healing, but we also go to a competent physician when we need one.
Many people are surprised to learn that the writings encourage one-course meals. I think that this is asking us to, what this is asking us to do is to eat simply. And imagine what the body has to go through to digest something like a very typical heavy Thanksgiving dinner. So it's much easier on the body to eat very simply. And we have examples of this from Baha'u'llah and Abdul Baha eating very simply. The writings say, "In all circumstances, they should conduct themselves with moderation. If the meal be only one course, this is more pleasing in the sight of God. However, according to their means, they should seek to have this single dish be of good quality." And we've all heard of examples of how people have had 10-course meals or something, you know. I think that that's not keeping in line with the moderation.
Right. There's an acronym in holistic health circles, SAD, Standard American Diet, is the SAD diet. There's a quote from the writings, "But man hath perversely continued to serve his lustful appetites, and he would not content himself with simple foods. Rather, he prepared for himself food that was compounded of many ingredients, of substances differing one from the other. The result was the engendering of diseases both violent and diverse." When we eat food, the body has to make adjustments for each food. If you eat a protein, the body does certain things so it can digest proteins. If you eat a carbohydrate, the body does something else so it can digest the carbohydrate. So if you throw, as Sandy said, the typical Thanksgiving dinner, if you throw a whole bunch of stuff in...
You're getting lots of fat, protein, and carbs.
Yeah, you're getting it all mixed together. The body is going to do its best because the body is very, very smart.
And in huge quantities, too.
Right, but the body's ability to absorb the nutrients from all of those various foods that we eat at Thanksgiving dinner is going to be compromised. We're not going to, you may digest it in a fashion, but you're not going to get the maximum amount of nutrients from those foods.
It's no wonder we need a rest after Thanksgiving because all the taxation we put our bodies through.
Right. Yeah. Everybody needs a nap.
Oh, but it looks so wonderful.
Yeah.
It's hard to resist. Now, we are told to primarily heal with foods and simple medicines. The writings say, "Treat disease through diet, by preference, refraining from the use of drugs. And if you find what is required in a single herb, do not resort to a compound medicament.
Sounds good to me. Hot and cold baths were a favorite at spas in the 19th and early 20th century. While we have these at spas today, they will undoubtedly become more a part of mainstream medicine in the future. The Baha'i writings say, "When the science of medicine reaches perfection, treatment will be given by foods, aliments, fragrant fruits and vegetables, and by various waters, hot and cold in temperature."
You know, I'm still on the one that I just talked about with the regard to the use of drugs. You know, I just want to add that do not neglect medical treatment when it is necessary, but leave it off when the health has been restored.
Mm-hmm.
And being around healthy people will improve our health. Abdu'l-Bahá says that health is contagious. But notice that the health is less contagious than disease. Know that there are four kinds of curing and healing without medicine. Two are due to material causes, and two to spiritual causes. Of the two kinds of material healing, one is due to the fact that in man, both health and sickness are contagious. The contagion of disease is violent and rapid, while that of health is extremely weak and slow.
That's too bad. It should be the other way around.
Oh, yeah.
That if you're sick, you just get next to a healthy person and their health gets transferred to you. That would be wonderful.
Yeah. Well, you know, being around people who are in good health and have lots of joy, it is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
So I can really relate to that one.
Right. The Baha'i writings are filled with encouragement toward right action. The Word of God is given to us for our benefit and not for our limitation. So here's what Abdu'l-Bahá said. "Now, if thou wishest to know the true remedy which will heal man from all sickness and will give him the health of the divine kingdom, know that it is the precepts and teachings of God. Focus thine attention upon them."
Wow, so there's the secret there. I almost felt like a drum roll and you holding out on that last part of the sentence. Know that it is the precepts and teachings of God. Focus thine attention upon them. Well, now we've gotten to a point in our little talk about subtracting from our physical health. All the things previously were talking about additions. So now we have to take some things away. We've talked about things to add to our physical lives. And one thing that we need to subtract is meat, believe it or not. And I'm not a vegetarian by any means. But let me look at the writings, and this will provide a little more explanation. When the question was asked, "What will be the food of the future?" the answer was, "Fruit and grains. The time will come when meat will no longer be eaten. Medical science is only in its infancy. Yet it has shown that our natural diet is that which grows out of the ground. The people will gradually develop up to the condition of this natural food." So it's something that we have to gradually come around to.
Yes, this isn't a, there isn't a Baha'i law that you can't eat meat.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little later.
Yeah, so we don't want to mislead people.
And it's something that has to gradually take place, so it's not right. An abrupt thing.
Right.
And this is what the food of the future will be.
Right. Here's another quote. This is, I think this was also from Abdu'l-Bahá. "Regarding the eating of animal flesh and abstinence therefrom, know thou of a certainty that in the beginning of creation, God determined the food for every living being, and to eat contrary to that determination is not approved. For instance, beasts of prey such as the wolf, lion, and leopard are endowed with ferocious tearing instruments such as hooked talons and claws. But coming to man, we see he has neither hooked teeth nor sharp nails or claws, nor teeth like iron sickles. From this it becometh evident and manifest that the food for man is cereals and fruits. So I think what we're saying here is that fruits and grains are the more natural food for man, and we would be healthier if we ate according to our nature.
And that's supportive in natural health, you know, that the carbs are what we, carbohydrates that we get from our foods, like cereals and fruits, they burn better for us in a sense, and we utilize them so much better.
Okay, here's a quote that specifically addresses whether...
The whole thing about meat, yeah.
Yeah, so you want to read that quote.
Yeah. However, meat is not unlawful, and the writings say that eating meat is not forbidden or unlawful. Nay, the point is this, that it is possible for man to live without eating meat and still be strong. Meat is nourishing and containeth the elements of herbs, seeds, and fruits. Therefore, sometimes it is essential for the sick and for the rehabilitation of health. There is no objection in the law of God to the eating of meat if it is required. So if thy constitution is rather weak and thou findest meat useful, thou mayest eat it. It's so nice to see this cycle, you know, where you do have your animals and birds eating herbs, seeds, and fruits, you know, and being, it reminds me of that whole idea of being free range, you know, and the animals being able to find foods on their own and take in that energy, and then we get that energy from them as we consume them.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is, it's not unlawful. You can go ahead and eat meat, and I guess in moderation, you know. So
right. What Abdu'l-Bahá was saying is, if you're sick and you need to rehabilitate your health, and you need a more concentrated food to do that, then you can eat meat. But as a general principle, it would be healthier for people to not eat meat. If they are healthy without the eating of meat, it would be...
And they're already strong.
Yes. Okay, going on to other things. As you can imagine, drugs and alcohol are forbidden, and smoking is discouraged.
Yeah.
So here's a quote. O ye God's loved ones, experience hath shown how greatly the renouncing of smoking, of intoxicating drink, and of opium conduceth to health and vigor, to the expansion and keenness of the mind, and to bodily strength.
Wow, so there's your beauty secret right there. Just stay away from drugs, alcohol, and smoking. And you'll have courage, health, beauty, and comeliness. Woo!
There you go.
Strength and everything else. Okay, well, we're still talking about things to subtract, just to keep track of things. Just as we might add right actions to our lives, like being joyful, we must avoid wrong actions. And the writings say, it is certainly the case that sins are a potent cause of physical ailments. If humankind were free from the defilements of sin and waywardness and lived according to a natural inborn equilibrium without following wherever their passions led, it is undeniable that diseases would no longer take the ascendant nor diversify with such intensity.
Okay. So, he's wanting us to live according to a natural inborn equilibrium. and saying that if we live that way, instead of letting our passions lead us wherever, then we would have fewer diseases and milder diseases.
It sounds like, too, that it's a little bit of a hint towards acquiring virtues and, you know, the right path, the right action, you know, using your free will to develop your virtues and attract attractiveness.
Right. Okay, well, let's talk about some things to add to our spiritual life. Probably the most important thing to add to our spiritual lives is the love of God. There's a Baha'i prayer for healing that all the Baha'is know. It starts off, "Thy name is my healing, O my God, and remembrance of thee is my remedy." Goes on to say, "Nearness to thee is my hope, and love for thee is my companion. Thy mercy, God's mercy to me, is my healing and my succor in both this world and the world to come. Thou art verily the all-bountiful, the all-knowing, the all-wise." So let's look at the things that God is identifying. This is...
This prayer is coming from Baha'u'llah.
Right. This prayer is God speaking to us directly. So he's saying God's name is our human healing. The remembrance of God is our remedy. Nearness to God is our hope. And nearness to God in this sense is developing God-like attributes or Christ-like attributes.
The virtues.
Right, the virtues, yeah. So nearness to God is our human hope, and love for God is our companion. And God's mercy to us is our healing and our succor in both this world and the world to come. So there's some things to think about there.
Should I say that prayer one more time?
Go ahead.
This goes out to all those who are looking for health and healing. Thy name is my healing, O my God, and remembrance of thee is my remedy. Nearness to thee is my hope, and love for thee is my companion. Thy mercy to me is my healing, and my succor in both this world and the world to come. Thou art verily the all-bountiful, the all-knowing, the all-wise. Some illness have spiritual causes, and some have physical causes. They should be treated differently. The writings say, illnesses which occur by reason of physical causes should be treated by doctors with medical remedies. Those which are due to spiritual causes disappear through spiritual means. Thus, an illness caused by affliction, fear, nervous impressions, will be healed more effectively by spiritual rather than by physical treatment. Hence, both kinds of treatment should be followed. They are not contradictory.
The trick is to figure out whether you need a physical healing or a spiritual healing. Maybe you should just pray all the time.
And that'll cover all the bases.
Add some physical healing if the prayer doesn't work. Meditation may not heal us directly, but it leads to knowledge of ourselves and increases our spirituality. The writings say, through the faculty of meditation, man attains to eternal life. Through it, he receives the breath of the Holy Spirit, The bestowal of the Spirit is given in reflection and meditation. The spirit of man is itself informed and strengthened during meditation. Through it, affairs of which man knew nothing are unfolded before his view. Through it, he receives divine inspiration. Through it, he receives heavenly food. Meditation is the key for opening the doors of mysteries. In that state, man abstracts himself. In that state, man withdraws himself from all outside objects. In that subjective mood, he is immersed in the ocean of spiritual life and can unfold the secrets of things in themselves. To illustrate this, think of man as endowed with two kinds of sight. When the power of insight is being used, the outward power of vision does not see. The faculty of meditation frees man from the animal nature, discerns the reality of things, puts man in touch with God.
Wow, that's so beautiful. We need to be still and quiet for the inspiration to flow through.
Should we be quiet for a while?
No, that wouldn't be in tune with our podcast. But we should take some time later today to do that, to be still and quiet and meditative, all of us. Abdu'l-Bahá said that meditation causes an increase in whatever we focus on. We can use it to increase our materialism or our spirituality. And the writings say, the meditative faculty is akin to the mirror. If you put it before earthly objects, it will reflect them. Therefore, if the spirit of man is contemplating earthly subjects, he will be informed of these. But if you turn the mirror of your spirits heavenwards, the heavenly constellations and the rays of the Sun of Reality, that Sun of Reality is capitalized, will be reflected in your hearts, and the virtues of the kingdom will be obtained. Therefore, let us keep this faculty rightly directed, turning it to the heavenly sun and not to earthly objects. And that's heavenly sun, capital S-U-N. Turning it to the heavenly sun and not to earthly objects, so that we may discover the secrets of the kingdom and comprehend the allegories of the Bible and the mysteries of the Spirit. And that's coming from Abdu'l-Bahá in one of his talks in Paris.
Now, we're talking about meditation, but as you were reading that, I was thinking about some of the things we watch on TV and in movies. Now, I'm not talking about being puritanical, but if what you're meditating on are the typical things that we see in movies and TVs, our spirit is going to be directed towards those things. It's going to be attracted towards those things.
Hmm.
I was thinking this line, that the meditative faculty is akin to a mirror. If you put it before it earthly objects, it will reflect them. You know, do we want our spirit to be reflecting what's on TV, or do we want our spirit to be reflecting something else?
The image I got when I read the meditation from Abdu'l-Bahá was how if you're focused on material objects, like sometimes I can obsess on something that's materially oriented, you know, something that I want. And I can use meditation to obsess on it. When I'm constantly bringing it to mind, that is the wrong use of meditation, you know, of meditating on something that's materialistic, you know, that I don't want to let go of or detach from. And we have to, when we talk about subtraction in this segment, we have to talk a little bit about detachment and how important it is to obtain that virtue too, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was the image that I got as I read this. Meditation can be a two-edged sword, you know. You can use it to benefit yourself, but you can also use it to harm yourself in a sense.
To become more attached to something.
Yeah. So, you know, if we meditate on the things that are joyful, and usually the things that are joyful are things that are immaterial, you know, and those things will really help to make the health of our spirit stronger. Mm-hmm. Okay, go on to Buddhism and compassion.
Yeah, Abdu'l-Bahá once said, if you want health, think of others. This is a paraphrase. If you want health, think of others. If you think of yourself, you'll make yourself sick.
I've done that. So, that's been tried and true. Oh.
So this is an actual quote from Abdu'l-Bahá. We should all visit the sick. When they are in sorrow and suffering, it is a real help and benefit to have a friend come. Happiness is a great healer to those who are ill.
You know, that's so true. It's when you do service, in a sense, that's like doing service. When you reach out, you have that outreach, you are connecting with others, and you're also really taking the focus away from yourself, and you're doing something that's of benefit. That in itself, you know, brings a lot of joy, and that's another reason to really covet our health and to really know how special and important it is, because we, you know, in order to serve, you have to have, you know, you need good health in order to really serve and to do it well and joyfully. So it's really a nice part of the writing here to have that guidance about service mm-hmm. and outreach.
I wanted to say just a little bit about detachment. I saw a great definition of detachment in a Baha'i dictionary. Do you remember the name of that dictionary?
The Baha'i dictionary?
I think it's called a basic Baha'i dictionary.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think that's the name of it.
I mean, without going to get the book.
Okay.
So you want me to go get it?
No. It's close enough. Detachment is putting God's will above your will.
Ooh.
That's such a simple definition.
Very concise and hits the bullseye. You know exactly what that means.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something to think about.
Okay. Well, contentment is a critical quality of a healthy person. Without it, we may be angry about the past or fearful about the future, and our spirituality and our health will suffer. Verily, the most necessary thing is contentment under all circumstances. By this, one is preserved from morbid conditions and from lassitude. Yield not to grief and sorrow. They cause the greatest misery. Jealousy consumeth the body, and anger doth burn the liver. Avoid these two as you would a lion. And I just think about... if I saw a lion as I'm walking the streets, how I would be trying to get out of the way of that beast. Hmm. But it really makes the point, doesn't it, that you would avoid jealousy and anger as you would a lion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty powerful, and you can't mistake that or interpret that in any other way.
Well, if you're like I am and you're a little lazy with your spirituality and you have a tendency to be angry and fearful, it's good to develop obedience. The commands of God are for our benefit, not for our limitation. That's really an important point that maybe if we have kind of a libertarian point of view, you know, we're supposed to be able to do anything we want, anytime we want. But we're told in the Baha'i writings that God gives us these limitations strictly for our benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a quote we've had before, but I'm going to read it again. Now, if thou wishest to know the true remedy which will heal man from all sickness and will give him the health of the divine kingdom, know that it is the precepts and teachings of God. Focus thine attention upon them.
Yeah, I believe that that quote bears repeating, so thank you for doing that so beautifully. Now I'm introducing a subtraction from our spiritual life, which is different from what we talked about earlier, which was subtracting from our physical life. So subtract from our spiritual life. All of us struggle with negative emotions from time to time. We must try to limit these, both in their severity and their duration. Severity and duration. And this is our last quote. It's from Abdu'l-Bahá. I hope that in this nether world thou shalt attain unto heavenly light. Thou wilt free the souls from the gloom of nature, which is the animal kingdom, and cause them to reach lofty stations in the human kingdom. Today, all people are immersed in the world of nature. That is why thou dost see jealousy, greed, the struggle for survival, deception, hypocrisy, tyranny, oppression, disputes, strife, bloodshed, looting, and pillaging, which all emanate from the world of nature. Few are those who have been freed from this darkness, who have ascended from the world of nature to the world of man, who have followed the divine teachings, have served the world of humanity, are resplendent, merciful, illumined, and like unto a rose garden. Strive thine utmost to become godlike, characterized with his attributes, illumined and merciful, that thou mayest be freed from every bond and become attached at heart to the kingdom of the incomparable Lord. This is Baha'i bounty, and this is heavenly light.
Well, as Sandy said, that's our last quote. We hope you enjoyed this. I'll put some copies of this document that we just read and a copy of the larger document up on our website. Sandy and I have created a website, www.alliswell.org. www.alliswell.org. So maybe you'd like to check that out. What's on the website is not based on the writings of the Baha'i Faith. Not strictly based on it, I should say. There's lots of stuff on there. There's a blog that goes along with that website, healthierhappier.blogspot.com, if you'd like to check that out. So, I think we're about done.
You're welcome to join us at any time. Thanks for being here and listening to the Baha'i Writings on Health.
You've been listening to the podcast of the Baha'is of Florida's Emerald Coast. If you'd like to learn more about the Baha'i Faith, the international site is baha'i.org. You'll find information about the faith, and there's also links to the Baha'i communities in several dozen countries around the world. Or check out our new blog at ecbp.blogspot.com. That's ecbp.blogspot.com. There's links to Baha'i websites and some great Baha'i podcasts. You can phone us if you want to talk to a human. Call 1-800-22-UNITE, or in Florida, call 850-543-2129. You can leave us a voicemail toll-free at 866-590-4545, or email us at panhandlebahais@aol.com. Thanks for listening.